Okay. We have read to you from Genesis 39. And I hope most of you remember where we have left off last time. Well, we are, have been talking to you about Joseph. Does everyone remember the story of Joseph? How that Joseph was sold into Egypt. You'll remember that Joseph and his brethren were together when Joseph told them his dream. Do you remember that Joseph said, we were binding sheaves in the field? And your sheaves came to my sheaf and bowed down before my sheaf. This made the brothers angry. And he also said, I have another dream. That there was 10 stars. And they bowed down before me. My star, he said. And also the sun and the moon. Bowed before my star. This made the brethren very angry. You see, friends, we've spent some time speaking about this. And in the first place, we need to understand and learn practical lessons. But deeper than that, we need to learn spiritual lessons. Because the story of Joseph tells us and teaches us very practical lessons. And very particularly in our culture here in Malawi. But if it was only practical, it would only benefit us for this time. But since it's also spiritual, it can benefit our soul. And so that's what we have to ask. When God's word was being read, when Aubrey read the word, were you listening? Did you hear what was being spoken? And have you already maybe taken some practical lessons? And if so, what practical lessons did you listen? Did you hear? What happened? And what is it teaching us? For up until now, we have recognized how that the brethren being so angry have sold Joseph into Egypt. Joseph went bound as a slave into Egypt. Do you remember how they took his coat and they killed an animal? They dipped his coat in the blood of the animal. And then they brought it back to his father. Do you remember that? Yes? Do you remember? Then they said to his father, see whose coat this is. And his father said, that's my son's coat. And his father grieved. So what did the brothers do? They conceived a lie. Because they sold their brother into Egypt. Do we recognize that? You see, because we too do not want to tell the truth. Do you remember how he brought this practical lesson? See, because when sin conceives in our heart, and we go through with sin, then what? If we don't repent, we have to then lie. Shall we give an example? If there is a man amongst us who is married to a wife, but he sees another woman, and he says in his heart, I would like to be with that woman. That conceives in your heart. So you do it sneakily. Maybe at night time. You see? Because your conscience is speaking. Then when sin has taken place, you go home. Maybe your wife says, where have you been? And you say, I've been to the field. I've been working. You see, now I have to lie. You see? That's what sin does in our lives. For one sin has to go to another sin. And we can't tell the truth. You see, this is with the boys, the brothers of Joseph. They conceived a plan to sell him into Egypt. Then they had to go to their father and lie. Now, why do you think that they wanted Joseph gone? Please help me. Why did they want to Joseph to be gone? Why did they sell him in the Egypt? Can someone help me? Why did they do this? Maybe one of you can help me. Why do you think? You can guess if you like. It's okay. Why did they sell Joseph into Egypt? Joseph and by what about my mods? Does someone want to help me?
Because he was very beloved and trusted by the father, so they did not like it.
Yes, very good. Maybe something else? Another idea?
Because they hated the truth.
Ah, that's very, very good. Thank you very much. Because they hated the truth. Doesn't that speak so much to us? When the truth comes, we don't want the truth to speak. Even in our daily lives, when things conceive in our heart, then we don't want the truth to confront us. Maybe we go into a field and take two cobs of corn. And we put them away. And we walk in the village. Make sure nobody sees. And when someone says, hey, because our conscience. And they say, where have you come from? Then you don't want the truth. You say, I've come from a friend. And you say, no, you've come from the field. And we hate the truth. Because it's bothering us so much. You see, so what we try to do is we try to get rid of the truth. And we try to get rid of anything that makes that bothers us. You know how much, so much? Maybe one of the children, listen carefully. Maybe one of the children has seen a strange man come into the house.
At
that time. And the next day the little child says, Mother, who was that child? Or who is that man? And you say, stop!
Don't
worry!
Don't worry!
You see? Because we don't want the truth.
If one man was on the journey, you see?
That's our life. That's our life. And now they sell Joseph into Egypt. And they think, now he can never say anything anymore. Now he will not bother us no more. He cannot go to our father and tell our bad deeds. But maybe you remember something. They bring his coat to his father. They are so silly. Because now his father has his coat close by him. And it has blood on there. Remember, they dipped it in the blood. And now the brothers, they have to come sometimes to the father to ask something. Then they knock. Say, Father, may I speak with you? Father says, yes. They come in. And what do they see? Evidence. They see the evidence of their sin. And I don't want to see the coat. They want to say to Father, Father, get rid of that coat. Because it's Joseph's coat. And it's reminding them of their sin. You see, you can sell Joseph into Egypt, but you cannot sell your conscience. You can even pay money so someone keeps their mouth quiet. You know how that happens? In the villages here, when someone knows something, then you give them some money. Don't say nothing. That's how the schemes happen here. Are you following me? Are you following? We can pay someone to keep your mouth quiet. But we can never get rid of our conscience. Wherever we go, our conscience follows us. And why is that? Because God wants us to become honest. The only way of salvation is to find peace in Jesus Christ. Because people, these brothers, it doesn't matter what they do. They can't get rid of guilt. Mothers, it doesn't matter what you try. You won't get rid of guilt. From last year, from last month, from maybe last night, you won't be able to get rid of that guilt. You see, we all have a burden we're carrying. And it's all the terrible things we do. Even from a child, we carry the lies, the sin. But we can never get rid of it. And you know what's worse, man?
Until we give it to Christ, we only make it heavier. Take an old woman and a young lady.
Take an old woman and an old lady.
Take an old man and a young man.
Take an old woman and an old lady.
They walk like this. Why? It's evidence that our body is being weighted down by 60 years of lies, of idolatry. You see, we don't want to say that. We don't want to admit that. Why not? Because we want to be someone. But people, I have to tell you something. We are no one. Except if we are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have nothing to offer God. And we cannot get better. You know, in children, how you even see little children, how they already have a bad heart. They yell at mother. They swear. Even little children learn how to learn from us how to put schemes together. Little children, they're already learning from us. And when they take something and run away, where did they get that from? From father and mother. Isn't that the truth? And when they begin to hit each other, where are they getting that from? Because they seen father has beat his wife, has beat his mother. You see? And the children learn. And do you know how good children can learn? They only have to see you once. And they will copy you. You see that, fathers? Listen carefully to me. Because I'm telling you out of the love of my heart. You only have to beat your wife once. And they will learn. But you know what? You only have to tell them. About the love of Jesus Christ. And they will hear. You only have to do what God's word tells us. To love God above all. And our neighbor as ourselves. And our children will begin to learn. Mothers, fathers. If we begin to teach our children what God's word tells us. To love one another. To care for one another. To teach one another about the principles of God's word. If we begin to do this, you will see a change in your village. You will see a change. Fathers, if instead of sneaking to other people's houses for pleasure, you would take God's word with your children, with a little light, and let mother together, and read, and pray together, you will see a change in your family. God will bless you. And everyone's saying, why is God not blessing us? What is wrong with Malawi? Why no food? Why cyclone? Why are we suffering? Do you know why? I'm telling you the truth in Christ. It's because we don't want the truth. We don't want to be exposed by the truth. And that's exactly what was happening with the brothers. They want the brother, Joseph, gone.
And they don't even want that coat.
Because
when they go to Father, they do want a blessing from the Father. Do you see how similar this is to us? Because we do want God to bless us. We do want God to help us to grow our crops. We do want God to help us. We even pray. But who here today wants God to help us because His Son Jesus Christ will be honored and glorified? Because Father was sitting there. And by Him was the coat from Joseph. And they come to talk to Father, but they don't want that coat. That's exactly like us. We want to talk to Father. We want Him to bless us. But we don't want it to happen by being reminded of Jesus Christ. Why? Why is that? Why do so many people in Malawi want God, but not the right way? Why do so many people want God without Jesus Christ? It's exactly like then. It's because we want God, but we do not want to be exposed. And we don't want the truth. Because then we have to become open. We become a sinner. But God says, don't come to me. If you don't come to me in the name of my Son Jesus Christ, God says, you can come to me, but only in the name of Jesus Christ. But what have you and I done with Jesus Christ? Have we sold Jesus Christ into Egypt? Think carefully. Because if you say no, then you don't want the truth to explode. Let me help you. Because you say, no, I didn't sell Jesus Christ into Egypt. But listen carefully how that works. Every time we disobey God, every time we're disobedient to God, we sell the love of Jesus Christ away. Yes, all of our sins have pushed Jesus Christ away. We don't want Him to be king of this village, because we want to live in our sins still. We don't want one husband, one wife. We don't want to take care of our children. We want our own life. And we want God to bless us. My dear friends, we need to be exposed. Because every time we do sin in open or in secret, we crucify Jesus Christ. And that's the same as selling him away to Egypt. Now I want to tell you more, though. I hope you're following. And I hope you can apply it to your own heart. Mothers, that you will hear this word. Because I'm sorry, but I've come back to Malawi, and there's one thing that the Lord is laying upon my heart after almost 2 years. And I have to tell you, and that is that everywhere in Malawi, also here, a false gospel is being believed.
chipembedzo chaboza pano anthu kunamisana kupempha byonamana byomfakamfaka zachuluka.
That a prosperity gospel is on fire in Malawi. And somehow or another, everyone is a Christian. And nothing's changing. There is no fruits of repentance. There is no fruits of love. I'm telling you, if everyone was a Christian here today, I mean a born-again Christian, this village would reform. This village would revive. And you would see love flowing forth out of the families. There, you cannot look at a tree and have any value in a tree, a fruit tree, if it doesn't bear fruit. If you go to a mango tree this year, and you look, and you can't find mangoes, you will be very disappointed. Maybe next year, you go again, and you find no mangoes. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to cut it down. It's useless. And God is saying to this village today, where is the fruits? God is coming from heaven. And he's looking for fruits. But if he doesn't find fruits in this village, he's going to cut it down. You see, we need to be exposed. And we need the truth to set us free. And my friends, there's only one truth, and that is salvation by grace in Christ alone. Through faith, it is the gift of God. And if there's only one thing I have to do here now, is to keep telling the truth so that there may be spiritual conviction amongst us. Not nice stories. Not nice gifts. It's not going to profit us if I tell you lies and tell you that you're all going to heaven and tell you that God is good all the time and hide the sins. There's no point. We need to change. We need spiritual revival. We need the Holy Spirit to come into our families. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to ignite the gifts of God in our soul, so that we begin to see men being true fathers, mothers being mothers, loving one another, caring for one another. Let us go further. Because Joseph is in Egypt, the brethren are with their father again. And you know what's happening? You know what's happening there? They won't tell the truth. No brothers will go to their father and say this: Father, we have sinned. Joseph is still alive. And we have sold Joseph into Egypt. Are you following me? They won't tell their father the truth. Why not? Because if they tell the truth, Then they have to repent. You see? And now what has to happen next? Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. You have to listen too. Because maybe you'll be a pastor one day. Okay? So you stay right by me, okay? You listen, okay? What happened? You see, the brothers of Joseph, they are able to keep the lie. But what has to happen for it to be exposed? Does anyone know?
You
can help me. You see, as long as they have food, and as long as they can eat and can live, everything's going to be okay. Yes, they see father sad, but everything's okay. What has to happen for them to be exposed? Help me. Help me. Can someone help me? What has to happen? Surely someone knows what happens. Can you guess? Poverty. Think for a moment with me. What has to happen? Famine has to come. You know the story of Joseph? Because in the land of Goshen, no rain comes. And they start to become hungry. You see, in Africa, and especially in Malawi, why is there famine? Why is there famine here? Why is there famine in Africa? And why is there poverty in Africa? It's because God is speaking. Why is your life so troublesome? Mothers, why are you so in pain? Why is your life a mess? Where is your husband? What is happening to us? You see, God brings a cyclone because he wants to wake us up. Just like these brothers begin to starve. Nothing's growing. But in Egypt, there is barns full. Because Joseph has taken care. You see, listen carefully. Joseph is in Egypt. The brothers begin to starve. Famine comes. Pestilence comes. And look what it takes for them to go back to Joseph. They need to go find Joseph. And they don't even know that they're going to find him. Isn't this gospel amazing? Finally, Father says this. Go to Egypt and buy some food. The brothers, they didn't think so much of that. Okay, we will go. And they go. They are going. And they are thinking, I hope we don't come across Joseph. But their conscience was beating. They go the first time. And they take things. And they come back. What's happening? What is God doing? You see, what is God doing in your life?
You need to go back to your sin. That's where repentance happens. So many people want to live on as a Christian with a name Christian, but you have not found forgiveness in Egypt. And now we come, and we're going to spend more time with that later. For people, we have to tell you something. There's many people here who are living in a lie and have not been exposed to Egypt yet. Who are hungry and maybe thirsty for the truth, but have not confessed yet and not repented yet. Because people, you and me, my sins nailed Jesus Christ on the cross. His salvation is being preached today, but it's at the cost of his life. Jesus Christ gave his life. Why? Why did he die the cross, the accursed cross death? He died the accursed cross death for my lies. For my fornication. For my adultery. For my theft.
Let me go there. Sure. Fornication and adultery. It's different. Chugolo is masiana. I said chugolo juu kujingereza kujima fika masiana. Chugolo ya fornication and adultery. Ndugu di niyamara udagwadiwe ya kazi udagwadi msinga udagwadiwe ya kujira kujangalibana des. Blagades. Chugolo fornication. Bible imares. Adala ndugu di wagwadi lagare unakazago na mamunago ya hawa tizembele bato unakazago ya alibuni ya wabwa wabwa wewe ndugu kana kugudeta ujue. Chugolo. Ujiliga. Ya fornication. Ndia niyamara koka udagwadiwe ya. Adodale mwasemwasemwa necho sei ni chikolo bado kutani ana kajira ya mbanje ya ni chikolo ya mnama chikolo kwa hiyo.
You see, Jesus Christ took all of that and made payment on the cross. We just want a Christ, we just want a Lord who forgets what we've done. And many of us have not truly repented and confessed. And without that, you cannot receive by faith the gift of grace. You see, a lot of people are teaching in Malawi that you need to try to stop doing these things. And then God will be happy with you. And you will be saved. But that's a lie. That's not true. You can't stop. It's impossible. You don't have that ability. For we are corrupted from the inside out. No, what God is calling us to do is to repent and turn to Him, to confess our sins and receive by grace alone the gift of forgiveness and being forgiven. We receive the might and the power in Jesus Christ alone to live another life. My friends, just because you stop drinking doesn't save you. You know what so many people say? I used to do bad things. I used to drink. I used to do this and that. But I don't do that. And that's your salvation. No, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible.
Because your heart is still the same. Your heart doesn't change. Except by grace alone. We need to become honest before God. We need to go to God and tell Him everything. Tell Him who we are. And receive the gift of grace. The forgiveness of all our sins. So that we may have life in Christ. And when we have life in Christ, that changes you. Christ changes you. You don't change yourself. You don't have that ability. Christ must change you. Paul says this, Christ who dwells in me gives me the power to be Christ-like. And what is it to be Christ-like? Well, what is Christ? Christ is love. And you become loving in the power of Christ. What else is Christ? He is forgiving. And in Him dwelling in us, by faith alone, you become forgiven. And you become an image of Christ. You see? What else is Christ? Christ is patient. And Christ dwelling in us, by faith, you begin to practice patience because it's the fruit of Christ in you. You know, I can't even get to my message today. Because of the necessity to realize the story of Joseph. Is teaching us something before we can even get to the story. Because we have read this, that Joseph is in Egypt. And what does Joseph do when he gets to Egypt? Listen. Does Joseph say in Egypt, it's not fair that I'm here? Does Joseph call a lawyer? To get him home? No, Joseph is sold as a slave. Now we need to learn something very, very carefully here. Today, if you would be sold as a slave, you would fight. We would call a lawyer. Maybe we would use guns or punk knives. But look at Joseph. What is he doing? Joseph is sold as a slave, and he is obedient. Do you hear that? Did you recognize something? He becomes obedient under the mighty hand of God. See, he knows God. And he knows his God would not do anything out of control. He doesn't understand. Why is God allowing this? Why am I in Egypt? I was just telling the truth to my father. I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I in Egypt? Why am I sold as a slave? But he knew one thing. My God knows everything. And He guides everything. There's nothing He does that is a mistake. You people, we have to learn lessons here today. Why are you in a situation? Why is your life in a mess.
Your
husband has left you for another woman. You have children. You have to take care of them. You don't have money. You're suffering. You become sick. Children become sick. And you say, why?
Why
did I do? But do you know the God who is in control? Because he, Joseph, he became a slave by Potiphar. And instead of saying, this is not fair, this is not right, he trusted in his God. See, he says, I don't know why. But he prayed. He said, God, I trust you. You know what's so sad today? Woman, when I'm exposing, you need to know I'm not trying to hurt you, but I'm trying to tell the truth. You know what happens today? You have maybe 2-3 children. Your husband leaves you. And for 1,000
kwacha,
you let another man into your life. While you say, I trust in the Lord. Does this man really love you? Does your husband really love you? Does this man really love you? No, he's just trying to fulfill his dirty lust. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your children. He's just feeding himself. And we pray. And we say, God, help me. And I don't understand why I'm in this situation. And we want to trust in the Lord. But what happens? Then you take it into your own hands. And that's why God can't help you. Hey, you cannot say, I trust in God. And when someone comes to my house at night, I'll trust in that money as well. It doesn't work. You see, men, you may say, look at our villages. This is the truth. A man says this. My wife is not doing what I said I thought she would. She's wasting some money. Or I just don't trust her anymore. I'm going to send her away. While we're praying to God for mercy, for help. Does that make sense? See, this is not Joseph. Joseph did say this. I don't understand. But he looked up. And he said, God, you know all things. If I must be a slave, I will be obedient. And I will wait for you. For you will do what's right. And every day he prayed. And you know what he prayed for? He said, God, help me to be honest. Help me to be upright. Help me to be careful. Help me to be truthful. And God answered. Because we read something. That Joseph was very much blessed in the house of Potiphar. He received the strength, the courage, the wisdom, from God to be an obedient servant. And Potiphar, he's seen Joseph, and he says, Joseph, this man, he's so honest. He's so truthful. How is this? And some people said, we've investigated. He trusts in God. He prays each day to God. And God is blessing him. And Potiphar said, ah, such a man will serve me well. And he made him ruler over all his goods. My friends, keep following me. This will be serving to your salvation. Now, where else do we see that? Did you follow me? When Potiphar inquired, then they said to him, he serves God. He prays every day. He trusts God. And Potiphar said, this is the man I need. And he gave him everything. You see, this is also a picture of one more person. Jesus Christ. You see, because Jesus Christ was also trustworthy. And he is trustworthy today. He is a servant. Jesus Christ serves. Yeah, he served so much that he served his own life on the cross. And I call out to you all today, why wouldn't you put your trust in Christ alone? Children,
amen.
You won't be able to trust in riches. Quacha will deceive you. But you can put your trust in Jesus, for he is trustworthy. And why wouldn't you put your trust in him? And you, maybe you say, I do put my trust in him. Why do you doubt then? Why do you go into the fields to find something that's not yours? If you put your trust in him, why are you searching for other wives? Men, why are you trying to find more kwacha? In ways that are fixated with schemes. Because it's so bad in Malawi that if I said in the village, whoever wants to become a Christian, I will give you 10,000 kwacha. People would line up from here to the road. And the next day when I come back, and I said this, whoever wants to be a Muslim, I will give you 10,000
questions.
They will line up the same people. That's how bad it is. So it's all for money. For something. For food. But we won't put our trust in Jesus Christ. But people, I tell you something. This Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he is so trustworthy. You can put your trust in him today. If you look unto him by faith and receive him in your heart, and confess your sins to him and receive the gift of grace that is to receive him himself in your heart, and he will forgive you all of your sins. He will even forgive you that you always have tried with money to be to gain salvation. You see, because Joseph is obedient. Under the pressure of a slave. And he is blessed. Do you feel like a slave? Do you also feel like a slave? As a woman, do you feel like you are a slave for your man?
As my
Do you feel like you're a slave under your children? Do you say, okay, I don't have the strength to continue? Well, Joseph was obedient under that. And that is the spirit of grace. That is the spirit of mercy. And God bless that. Because if you accept your lot, if you accept who you have become, if you accept that, and you say, I am a slave for Christ, God will bless you. Yes, God will bless you. You see, the blessing is not in riches, but in poverty. And to come to him like you are. Exactly how you are. You don't have to try to change. You don't have to try to become a better person. You don't have to try to change your life. It's not going to work anyway. Has it ever worked for you? To change your life? The more you try, the harder it becomes. But there's another way. Flee to the trustworthiness of Jesus Christ. And just come as you are. Obedient in faith. As a slave. You know, people? He's working.
Yeah, yes.
And he's come as a slave. And he works as a slave. And Potiphar begins to trust him so dearly. So much that he received everything. He had control of everything. And now comes a temptation. A deep temptation. An awful temptation. Because the wife of Potiphar is eyeing him out. Is watching him. And seeing him. And the only thing that Potiphar did not give to Joseph was his wife. He gave him his wallet, his funds, his bank account, everything. The only thing he withheld from him was his own wife. And Joseph was obedient. But this woman, she wanted him. She lusted after him. Day after day, she tried to whisper to him. To lay with her. But he would not. Because he feared his master. And one day when he's all alone, she watches this. And she grabs him. And she says, lay with me. And he says, no. What a mercy. What grace. Do you possess that grace? In obedience to the gospel? For he flees from her and runs from her and says, no, I cannot do such thing, for I serve my master and I fear my master, and runs and flees. What does this mean for us? What lesson is this? You know, people, this is a deeper lesson than you may think. I want to try to help you before we finish. Because in Malawi, this is happening so much. I know we're talking practical, it happens much. How often does a woman steal a man? Through lust. But it has a spiritual truth too. A deep spiritual truth. Because if we do not receive Christ by faith alone, and if we do not believe in the one true living God, through faith, the gift that is given to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, then you're going to do the same thing daily. Because Potiphar's wife wanted to take him by force for own pleasure, for the lust of the flesh. But me and you, outside of grace, we do the same thing. We commit spiritual idolatry. It's called spiritual idolatry. And I want to make it plain for you. But how many times do you see people come through Malawi? And they have a name for it. They come in and they bring a gospel. And it sounds exciting. It sounds good. And it's all very nice speech. They call it a crusade. They preach. Then they say, come to the altar. And I'll say a little prayer for you. And you'll be saved. And the whole crowd is singing and wooing. And it seems so spiritual. But it's not. It's poison. Yeah, this prosperity gospel. Come and believe this gospel and God will bless you. And today we have all kinds of healing ministries. And all of this healing ministries is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's prophets with high names and nice suits and eventually nice cars. And it's lies. It's not the truth. And that's exactly the same thing as what this woman was doing. She wanted him by force. But she had a husband already. And she wanted to take him by force to commit adultery. And my friends, you will never ever be able to take Christ by force. You will never ever be able to force Christ to have communion spiritually with you while you're married to another. People, are you following me? Because even you're married to another.
Even the children are married to another.
What do I mean? By nature, the way we're born, we're married to someone. Somebody help me. Who are we married to? Who are we in communion with? Spiritually. Who is that?
Tikabadwa aliyense kuzimu makaruta kwa roni ndani.
Who do we serve?
Tikakarurumikira ndani kakubadwa alisa kabale makarumikira ndani. Ha? Sinukumba? Said God.
That can be. It's impossible.
Mwina bizona mwina.
It's impossible.
Mezo sizingateke ya.
By nature.
Aliyense majikalidwe.
The way we are, without grace, who do we serve?
Satan.
By nature, we serve Satan.
Because if it's true that we serve God, if it's true that we serve Mulungu, then we would have no sin.
Then sin would not be existing with us.
You see? But since sin is existing in the village, let me ask you something. Is sin from God? It's not.
No.
Yet, if we serve God, where is the sin coming from?
You see, we serve by nature. We serve Satan. That is our original husband. I'm talking children, men, women, everyone. It's an expression. It's a picture I'm trying to bring to you. We all by nature serve our first husband, Satan. And we serve sin. We love sin. We love sin more than anything else. People, please be honest. God knows your heart. We are so in love with sin. We are so in love with ourselves. We love sin so much that we think about it all day. How will I steal that? We don't want anyone to know what our mind is going. We love sin so much that when we're walking in the village, our mouth is not saying anything, but the men, they look at the woman and say, I need to talk to her. But nobody might know. You see, that's how much we love sin. And we love sin so much that when we go to the borough with the women, then we just love to gossip. Do you know who she was with? She was with my neighbor. With your neighbor?
Oh, no.
She's terrible. Meanwhile, our heart is full of it. We love sin. So we serve sin. That's our first husband. And Satan feeds us. How does Satan feed us? Because sin conceives in us. So we might go somewhere in secret. But you say, I can't do this. Going to another house. And Satan says, do it. Go. Do it. And he pushes you forward to go.
You
see? That's our first husband. And we serve our first husband. And that's exactly what this picture is here. For this woman, she serves her first husband. And she must serve her first husband. She's married to Potiphar. But what does she do? She sees Joseph. And she wants to steal him. You see? That's what's happening. And we serve our first husband. But Joseph is not to be stolen. You cannot serve your first husband, Satan, and steal Jesus Christ for... And for an advantage. Could you imagine?
Woman,
that you took your husband by the hand? And you went to another man, and you said, I'm going to take him too? Does that work? No. See, we cannot serve Satan and take Jesus Christ for our advantage. Then we would say, Satan, when I'm lusting, when I want something, you help me. But when I'm in trouble, Christ, you help me. And Joseph said, no. You can't have me. You are married to another. You have another husband. And he was being obedient. Joseph says, you have a husband. And people, today we have to tell you. It's very plain. Do you want Jesus Christ? Do you want him to be your Savior? Do you want him to forgive your sins? Do you want the love of Jesus Christ to rule you? Do you want forgiveness of sins? Do you long for life everlasting with him? Then you must. You may not have it. You cannot have it. Unless you be honest and say farewell to your first husband, Satan. See, your first husband must die before you're legally allowed to marry another. And your hope and expectation in Satan must die. Your old life must die. Must be crucified so that you may live in Christ. This is the only way. And I see in Malawi that so many people are serving Satan and Christ, trying to at the same time. But it doesn't work. And Joseph runs away. Because if you try today to believe a gospel that allows Satan still to rule you. The gospel will go away today. Because the gospel will not be taken by force. But it's free in sovereign grace. And people, you may have it today. Your sins can be forgiven
today.
You can have salvation. You can have grace. Christ calls you.
Yes,
to come to him, to leave your first husband, to put your trust in him, to go flee to him, and receive the gift of salvation. And he says it will cost you nothing. Only be obedient to my gospel and leave everything. Not literally. But leave your hope and expectation of yourself and follow him. Believe in him. So you leave your first yourself and flee to Christ. And now this woman, she has a blank, she has a garment. Joseph is gone. And now all she has is the garment in his hand. And now what shall she do? This is evidence that she tried to take him by force. And look what happens again. She conceives a plan. Because people, I have to tell you something today. When I leave, then the gospel won't be preached anymore. You'll go back to your homes and you'll do one or the other. You'll either have a garment in your hand or you will have repented and believed the gospel. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. But this garment in her hand, she has it in her hand. And she walks to and fro in her house. What shall I do? What shall I do? She thinks, maybe I will go to Joseph and say, Joseph, forgive me. Maybe I will go to Joseph and ask for forgiveness. Maybe I will repent. Maybe I'll go to my husband and repent to my husband and say, I have not done well. But she doesn't. She says, no. I will have another plan. I will lie about it. You see, lying again. Because she does not want to become exposed. So she lays it aside. And when her husband comes home, what does she do? She lies to him and say, look what this Joseph does. Joseph, he wanted to lay with me. And I said no. And I fight him back. And I push him out of the house. And I say, go. I have a husband. You can't come to me. And her husband becomes angry and puts Joseph in jail. You see, if the gospel has not changed your life already, if you do not believe in the only name given under heaven and on earth, if Christ is not your Savior, if your sins have not been forgiven by his precious blood, and if you don't live in faith, then I have to tell you something. This afternoon and tomorrow, you will automatically conceive lies again. Automatically, you will try to find other women. You will this week try to let men come into your house again. For 1,000 kwacha. All because you conceived a lie. Because you won't fall for the truth. Because you won't fall on your knees and beg God for mercy and receive His salvation, His grace. What's tomorrow going to be like for you? Is your life going to change? Because today you heard a gospel and you believed in that gospel and you took refuge to Christ? Or are you going to go on? Friends, I may never see you again, I don't know. But I make myself free from you so that it will not testify against me. That I have brought you a false gospel. And you will not be able to say, you didn't tell us the truth. Because in your presence today, I tell you one truth only. If you don't repent, if you don't flee to God and ask for forgiveness and confess your faults and sins, if you don't tell Him who you are and you continue to steal Christ, you continue to use Christ for your benefit, you continue to live a life of secrecy, and on Sunday you say God is good all the time, that is stealing Christ like this woman did. I'm telling you the truth. But if you fall for Him today, confessing your sins, repenting, and you receive the gift of grace, in your heart, you may be saved. And you may receive the love of Christ in your heart. And you may receive power to be Christ-like. Will you go to Him today? Or will you reject Him? Will you go to Him today? Or will you conceive a new lie? What will you do? What will your life be? What will you do today? Let us pray. Father, the truth has been brought to these people. To all of us. And we know we are liars by nature. We are sinners. And we find an easy way we try to find easy ways in lies. And we try to steal thee in a false hope and false religion. Yeah, a false faith. But Father, we pray Thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that Thy Holy Spirit may be convicting in this day. And that these women would no longer steal Thee away. But that they may repent this day and flee to Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, for refuge, receiving forgiveness of all sins, knowing in the power of the washing and cleansing of Thy blood. O precious Savior and Son of God, in Thy name we pray unto Thee, O Holy Father. Send forth the power of conviction of Thy Holy Spirit. For we need here today Thy Spirit of conviction, Thy Spirit of salvation, Thy Spirit of love, the power of the Spirit of transformation. Through faith, to look unto Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. And we can't do this without Thee, O precious Spirit. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, without thee we can do nothing. We call out to thee. Save this village to thy honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.